You're listening to the Nerd to Know Media Network. Join us at nerdtoknowmedia.com.
Broadcasting from the Blanchistan Center, this is Phoenix FM.
This is 92.5 Phoenix FM, community radio for Dublin 15.
Hey everybody, it's JB Jeremy Borash, and you are listening to Darrow O'Connor on the...
Nerd to Know Media Production.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Phoenix 92.5 FM. This is the Wrestling Rewind. My name is Darrow O'Connor, and you are listening to the only wrestling podcast by wrestling fans who don't hate wrestling. We have a very on-topic episode for everybody this week. It is all going to be about TNA, with the exception of maybe our top story. But we have a lot of TNA to get through. We've neglected it a little bit, but we have a nice bundle of topics for this week, including TNA Rebellion, a look at Under Siege, and also the fact that everybody believes in Joe Henry. At the moment, it turns out. So we're going to get into all that. But before we do, I'm not on my own. I'm here by the one, the only, Mr. 1-0. You know him, you love him, Mr. Martin Hardy. How are you, Martin?
What are Dara and Martin doing in the Impact Zone?
So I was watching Rebellion, and I was like, I really like the way they have the touch of the old Impact Zone. You know, they have the little circle. And it's just a little touch. Just a little.
Like, obviously, we'll get into it in the review, but very much like the presentation of that show.
Yeah, me too. It was really, really good. Really, really good. Okay, so before we get into it, Martin, how are you doing?
All good. I get these periodically, but I've been deaf in my right ear all week. And it's, do you ever have that thing where you're having a conversation with someone, or you're trying to have a conversation with someone, and you've had a few too many pints, but you're trying not to let them know, and they ask you a real simple question, and instead of just giving a real simple answer, you start rambling, and halfway through it, you realize this sounds like total nonsense. I don't know if it's like an auditory perception thing, or it has some sort of effect on your brain, but because I've been deaf in my right ear all week, every time someone asks me a question, I can't tell how loudly or how quietly I'm speaking. And also I find that I'm like halfway through an answer, I'm like, what the hell am I even talking about? It was very, very much like how this conversation has gone. I'm fine, Dara. I'm fine.
I don't know how to respond to that, Martin, but thanks so much. It's good to hear from you. Okay, but
it's good to half hear from you.
But that's fair. But look, we want to start off before we go into TNA talking about this report from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, where Dave Meltzer has reported that while Cody Rhodes does have a feature feud with Roman Reigns and The Rock lined up, nothing big is planned for the next few months, right? He's about to defend the belt at Backlash tomorrow when we're recording this, but a couple of days ago when you're listening to this. And there's no interest for it, right? He continues on. Rhodes has
I wasn't even aware Backlash was on this weekend.
Exactly.
I saw it on Twitter.
This is why when you sent this to me, I was like, yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. But Meltzer continues, quote, Rhodes has no real-time direction until Rock and Roman are back in the picture. The other big stars on the brand is Randy Orton, and they're not doing anything to tease anything in that direction. So look, I said this.
If you finish the story, what then?
I literally said this. I was like, lads, if the story is we are going to finish it, it is done. There is nowhere to go. Cody Rhodes is a champion now that nobody cares about. like I watched some of the press stuff from France, and it was all about how they respect each other. And I'm like, that's great, but
it's not a hot feud. It's not like it's
a match that doesn't. I'm gonna say something. I don't mean in a bad way, Martin. So don't take it that way. It's the problem that happens in AEW, right? Where it's like matches just kind of happen, and there's no story. There's no sports entertainment in the sports entertainment product. You know what I mean? And it's like it just doesn't work. You know, I don't know one person that. Sorry, I know exactly one person who's excited about Backlash because he's there. But that's it. I haven't heard anyone else.
It's not Dave.
It's not Dave. No, don't know where Dave is. Dave's somewhere in New Jersey or Philadelphia. But yeah, look, I don't know one person aside from my friend who is covering it that is anyway excited for the show. And it's mainly got to do, like, AJ Styles is there. Actually, Dave probably would be excited because AJ Styles is wrestling. But at the same time, it's like the build hasn't been great. The pay-per-view really hasn't had any real oomph to it. And a lot of it's got to do because, I mean, Cody, look, it's a month into his championship reign. It really hasn't been great. But, like, it's not because he's a bad wrestler, because he's really not. It's because the story and the character doesn't exist. He has no character, which I've been saying consistently. Well,
prior to this, at least he had a defining feature in that he was Dusty Rhodes' son, and he wanted to win the belt that Dusty hadn't. And that was fine. Like, that was good.
That's for so tenuous. You see how tenuous it is. It was such a tenuous.
But at least it works for the chase.
It works one time.
Now that you've got the belt, that's like that doesn't work anymore. But for the past year, the only thing they've told WWE fans about Cody is that he's Dusty's son and he wants to win the belt. Dusty never did. So they don't. Now that he's done that, they don't have anything else. It's like, okay, tell us something else about you.
Exactly. And this is, I don't know why I'm right all the time.
it has legitimately been a good year for you.
I literally don't know, like, five or six massive claims that just happen, and it's like, you know, and this one is like the least surprising. It's just, I'm shocked that nobody else saw it coming, you know, whereas like, look, if this is your only thing that you're doing, it can't go anywhere. You know, like, Cody Rhodes isn't the most entertaining guy in the world. He isn't a very good promo. He doesn't have it, right? And I mean, I don't mean that like he's not a top guy, because he clearly is, but he needs something there. He needs like this X factor, you know. Like, I could go and do my bit where I just, you know, slowly transform him into Stardust, which I'm not going to do because I've done that and it is funny, but I can't keep doing it because then it gets less funny every time I do it. So
then you're like, Cody, you need to change it up.
Exactly. That's my point. That was the clever and witty remark I was about to make.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. But yeah, like, that's the thing. It's like he needs something, and you know what it is, right? It is kind of silly. It is kind of contrived. But genuinely, I think it's the only option he has here is to go heel. Because can you imagine this year? Because you were right, actually. You said he was going to be a year-long champion, which, you know, now until WrestleMania. Can you imagine how bad this is going to get if a month in,
nobody
cares? And it's like, I mean, it's genuinely not Cody's fault.
I would say that the person whose fault this is comes from a year ago. He should have won the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and then at least, you know, he would have went into those. He would have had those programs with Brock Lesnar to go into, Seth Rollins, with, you know. But he spent a year running through all those feuds to get back to where he was the year previously, and now the guy that they built the whole company around, Reigns, is gone. And I know that WWE didn't make this announcement. This comes from Dave Meltzer, so you can't really blame WWE. It's not like it's
no, but you can feel it. Like as I said, you can. Like, here's the thing, right? So I was looking at Clash at the Castle. That's happening next month, and tickets are actually pretty pricey. They're like €500 now. It's a two-day thing, so it's the SmackDown and the pay per view. But I mean, it's up there at WrestleMania. WrestleMania tickets for the two nights was about a grand, just under.
Oh my god!
But One, I don't want to pay that. And two, there's no real reason to. And what I mean by that is Rhea's gone because she's injured. Dominic's injured. Becky may or may not be there. I have no desire to see Cody Rhodes. Punk may or may not be there. Drew probably will be there.
It's in Scotland this year, isn't it?
Yeah, The Rock won't be there. Roman Reigns won't be there.
But it's like, so it's not as if Drew's even in a title match. Like, he'd be there, yeah. But it's not as if he's even, like, you could hype it up that the local lad's going for the title.
Exactly, because, I mean, who's he going to go? If he goes against Priest, Priest is retaining. They're not going to dethrone Cody.
At least this time, when they say he's in his home country, he'll actually be in his home country. And not
beside it.
Not in Wales. It's not even to say that there's a whole country.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole... I mean, it's... Yeah, no, I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt there, but no, there is England right beside it. It's closer to Ireland. Wales is closer to Ireland than
Yeah, Scotland. You're closer to it.
Yeah, it's wild.
You're on the East Coast.
But yeah, I mean, see, this is... And when I was looking at that, I was like, oh man, this is not a good sign. Because, look, the product's gotten better, and I think it's a combination of some bad luck with the injuries, because that can kind of happen, but...
Yeah.
They have walked themselves into the worst case scenario here, which was Cody Rhodes. And I'm not saying that because I don't like Cody. I really don't, right? But it's not because I don't like the person. I really liked him as a, like, pretty much every other incarnation of Cody Rhodes, with the exception of from when he left after Stardust, went through the indies, and then came back with the indie gimmick. I can't stand that because it's not a character. You know, like, think about it when he went off and he had the list and then he finished the list. And it's like, now it's the story. And it's like, that is not a character. That's an objective.
But I don't...
An objective is great. No, don't get me wrong. An objective is great. But that isn't the character. Like, there has to be a reason that you want to do it. It's like, okay, for your dad. Okay, cool. You've done that. The problem now, and I'll let you get in now in a second, is the problem with this now is that he has nowhere to go, and there's nothing, and it's not even for him. It's like, why are you cheering him? There's no reason. Oh, because he, WWE tells me to cheer him. I'm like, we've been down this road before. This is how you get a John Cena. And I'm not talking about the one that everybody likes when he comes back. I'm talking about, you know, Law Cena wins.
When you were in the depths of it in the 2010s.
Exactly. This is prime recipe for this exact thing. And it's and you know, I think Triple H and everyone running WWE is probably aware that they don't want that again, because the fan base that they've just won back will leave if this happens again. So,
well, I don't think you're being unfair there, because I actually do like Cody Rhodes, and I think that's right. Meltzer has kind of damned them here by coming out with this, because firstly, now you know, like, if it already wasn't going to be a kind of a dull enough championship reign, now you know that nobody he faces is actually winning. That they have this plan for Rock and Roman. You would assume at next year's WrestleMania. So now you know that you have a year to go with no suspense, no. Like, there's no chance that anyone is going to take it off him. And then all for what? Either for him to beat Rock and Reigns again, or for him to drop the title. In which case, and like, we had a chat about this term last week regarding Samoa Joe. Some people calling him a transitional champion. And I think we both agreed that it was slightly unfair that his reign did more than that. But, I mean... Even if it's a year long, sticking the title on somebody and then declaring that they're not going to drop it to anybody else until they drop it back to the next guy, to the previous guy. I mean, that seems like a year long transitional champion.
So I'm playing 2K24 at the moment, right? And the male storyline is literally that Roman Reigns walks away from the belt, you win the belt, and then it's all about you trying to overcome Roman Reigns because he's still the champion, and you're trying not to be a transitional champion. Now, they don't use those words because, I mean, obviously, but It's amazing.
Triple H got his ideas from.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. The 2K games kind of have a way of predicting the future. Right? Like, remember when 2K20 predicted the pandemic? The empty arena matches?
You've mentioned a couple of different things that the 2K games have. They're kind of like the Simpsons of wrestling.
Yeah, they just kind of predict what's happening. So, I mean, when I was playing this game, I'm like, oh my God, this is what's actually happening. Like, Roman is off shooting a movie, and everyone's still talking about where Roman Reigns is because, you know, it doesn't really matter what you do. And look, there's only one way this goes, and this goes with people leaving. And, like, you know, obviously AEW is kind of losing its mind a little bit, but it could work out. I don't know. But you know who the big winner in all this could be, my friend? TNA.
TNA.
Because TNA are just sitting there doing their best. And I had a great time watching this show.
Rebellion. Oh, so did I.
Yeah, it was super good. But before we get into that, there's a bit of breaking news from TNA. TNA is back on Sky, which is great. So I have the press release here in front of me from TNA and AOZAT. Classic TNA wrestling programming coming to the UK on AOZAT TV across the UK. Classic TNA premium live events will air every Wednesday and Saturday night from 9 p.m. on the channel. The channel is Sky 186. TNA's greatest matches and TNA in 60 will also be broadcast on AOZAT TV every Monday at 11 p.m. and Friday p.m., giving millions of fans across the UK a chance to witness TNA's full history of blockbuster stories, marquee matchups, and larger than life world-renowned stars. Since its inception in 2002, TNA has established itself as one of the largest professional wrestling organizations in the world and a premier destination for wrestling fans. The classic programming will feature the legendary wrestling personalities including Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Sting, Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Cody Rhodes, Jeff Jarrett, Rob Van Dam, Gail Kim, and Awesome Kong, as long as today's brightest stars such as TNA World Heavyweight Champion Moose, TNA Knockouts Champion Jordan Grace, Josh Alexander, Eric Young, Eddie Edwards, and many more. Ariel Shear, Vice President of Content and Distribution for Anthem Sports Entertainment, said, quote, TNA has a long love affair with the UK, and we are delighted to be able to bring some of the biggest matches, moments, and stars in wrestling history to AOZAT TV, giving fans the option to watch once more on Sky. This agreement also further extends our global reach, giving more fans more ways to watch TNA wrestling. End quote. AOZAT is a one-stop destination for entertainment and is part of the Information TV family, which previously broadcast TNA programming. Ross Ravigo, head of content at AOZAT, said, quote, we are thrilled to be working with TNA again. Last time the partnership was highly successful, so we are hoping we can recreate and build on that audience as there's a huge appetite for this content. So that's awesome. That's really, really great to hear. I have Sky myself. Obviously, it's a big thing in the UK and Ireland, so it's great that it's back on.
Is live new impact on it as well?
Yeah. So basically the way this works is they're going to have classic shows on, and then also more up-to-date stuff as well on the channel.
Wow, that's awesome. I heard during the pay-per-view they announced that, and I thought, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, because like what people might not know is TNA does have its own streaming platform, which is quite good, but it's been a while since it's been on Sky.
Yeah. Well, look, it's how you get the non-dedicated kind of audience interested. Like if somebody has, I think it's TNA Plus, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Like if somebody has that, they're a fan. You have them, you know. Yeah. TV is how you get it out to maybe people who aren't actively looking for it. But so look, that's great news for TNA.
That's really good. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And obviously it makes keeping up with Impact, like the weekly shows and then TNA as a whole, a lot better. And look, I was even talking to someone last night. I was like, look, we were talking about Kurt Angle. And I was like, look, if you want to watch good Kurt Angle matches, you'll see some of them in WWE, all right. But if you really want to see good Kurt Angle matches, you go and watch his TNA run. Because
absolutely unhinged Angle.
Oh, my God. Like, I think I told this story before. The best professional wrestling match I have ever seen in person, ever, was a 60-minute Ironman match. Or a 60-minute match. I don't even think it was Ironman. I just think it was a 60-minute match between Kurt Angle and AJ Styles in the National Stadium in Dublin. It was unbelievable. They tore the entire place down, and it was a match that wasn't on TV. It was just for us.
Incredible. It's almost like the old territories, you know, where you hear how like Terry Funk and Ric Flair like almost killed each other for 80 minutes untelevised in front of a crowd of 400 people.
Yeah, well, look, as I said, the National Stadium shows were packed. And here's the thing, TNA, if you guys are listening, come back to the National Stadium in Ireland. It's always a really good show. Some of the best TNA experiences I've ever had were in there. And running the small arenas as they do, like in Glasgow and stuff like that as well, it seems like that's a great vibe.
Venue for Rebellion only had 1,000 people in it, but it looked fantastic.
It looked fantastic, exactly. And here's the thing. If you want to beat WWE to the punch, do a show from Dublin. It would actually... Yep. It would sell out, I guarantee it. But yeah, so look, another bit of story that we have, which is great, which I love. I mean, I'm a huge fan of this guy.
It's not enough that they've landed on TV. They've also hit the radio.
But they've hit the UK charts. They're like number one. They beat Joe. So, okay, so I'm not going to bury the lead here. So this comes from News STV. So this report is obviously from today. It says, a Scottish wrestler challenging Taylor Swift for UK number one. Quote, "I do not underestimate the power of the Swifties, but they seem supportive," Hendry told STV News. So it says, a Scottish wrestler's viral tune is challenging pop sensation Taylor Swift for the UK number one spot. And he has the support of the Swifties. I believe in Joe Hendry is, I believe in Joe Hendry by the Edinburgh-born grappler has taken the internet by storm after the 36-year-old posted his music video on social media. And that's how I've been seeing it all over social media, which is phenomenal. And it's hilarious. In a matter of days, Hendry, who performs for the US-based wrestling company Total Nonstop Action, TNA, shot up the UK iCharts to number one. Hendry is aiming to make history by becoming the first wrestler to reach a number one spot in the UK chart, but faces competition from Swift's song Fortnite featuring Post Malone. He told STV News, quote, "I don't think I've ever faced anyone as big as Taylor Swift. I do not underestimate the power of the Swifties. I have to say that I've been treated pretty well by the Swiftie community. They seem to be supportive. Taylor's on top. She can have a week off. She deserves a holiday." They seem to be behind that, and it's good fun, which is always great. So the video was filmed, I didn't notice, it was filmed on Ardor Seat in Edinburgh. He continues, "The last few weeks have been mad. Every day it's just snowballed more and more. It started when there was some buzz on TikTok, people making videos about me. They were getting 500,000 hits. I thought I should probably release this song. The fans really got behind me after it went to number 20 in the UK charts, and it got to number one. It was number one in Malta, number two in Ireland, number six in the US, and on the same week that Taylor Swift released an album. I would be delighted to appear in the top 40. How high? I have no idea, but it's been an absolute blast." So there we go. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's awesome, though. It really is.
Swifties, huh? It's giving them a run for our money.
I mean, look, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan in general, but I'm a huge fan of this. I think this is great.
Are you?
Yeah, Taylor Swift's great. Yeah, she's really good live.
I expected that.
There you go. It happens. Hendrix tweeted on Friday, quote, "Unfortunately, the Swifties were too powerful for streaming, but we have been awarded six in the UK sales charts." So the Swifties did beat him out, but he's number six in the sales charts.
Fourth in the download charts and then sixth in the overall, like the overall charts. That's a genuinely big deal, like.
Yeah, so basically, from what I can see here, he shot the top of the UK charts to number one, right? And then he was fourth, then he went down to fourth, the first wrestler in history to reach number one, but then place fourth with Hozier's new song ranking at number one. Yes. And then in the sales charts.
They have a certain way of doing it where to declare who the number one that week is, it has to be in the spot at a certain time and for a certain amount of time. And the only reason I know that is because Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues was never actually a Christmas number one in, in Britain. It was number two, and the number one was the Pet Shop Boys, and it was something to do with how the actual number ones are calculated, the date when they hit number one and how long they're up there for and stuff like
When you think about it, this is like, it's a wrestling song, right? And it was going against juggernauts like Hozier and Taylor Swift. Like that's not an easy, no. as you say in football, right? But look, when I experienced this gimmick live in Glasgow, I came back immediately and I was like, this is the greatest gimmick of all time. And it is. I'm sorry. Like it just works. I don't know why it works.
You just have to see it. It is, when you try to explain it to someone, it sounds like the daftest, corniest, just like a most stereotypical wrestling thing you can think of. It's actually brilliant. It is. It's literally down to him. Like,
it is him. Yeah, it's a hunt. Like, you know, but these are the gimmicks that work. Like Joe Hendrick, like his, it is all him, but it's his personality turned up to 11, right? And it just works. I mean, he's a great wrestler. I got to actually see a bunch of his matches in the tapings in Glasgow, up close. So, I mean, in the ring, he really can bring it. But his personality, the crowd loves him. It's a homegrown TNA thing, and it's just brilliant. I mean, here's the thing. Like, this guy, I don't know how long he'll be in TNA for. Hopefully, he can hang on to him for a while. But this already has, like, international exposure. De facto, this guy's his... He's their biggest star, right? He's their biggest star. And they just have this gold. You know, it's amazing, really, when you think about it. But, like, if he goes off to a WWE or to an AEW, I don't really think he'd fit in AEW. Like, got to have a bit more of a sense of humor. But in WWE, yeah, maybe. But also, I don't want it to go to WWE. I don't want to go to TNA. I don't want to leave TNA. I wanted to stay there because it's own thing. And it's been a while since TNA has this homegrown
buzz. Other promotions don't have.
Exactly. The closest thing they had to it was the Matt Hardy delete thing, which is back now in TNA. So
yes, that was another thing that happened. It's fantastic. It is, like you said, if he does move on somewhere else, it is kind of genius, because even if people aren't watching TNA, most wrestling fans will know, like, even if they don't watch TNA, that, you know, that song has been a big hit. If he does show up somewhere else, the minute that music hits, people are instantly going to know who it is. Oh, yeah. You know,
but
no,
it's
kind of genius.
But here's what would be fun, right? So I'm going to just kind of play with this for a little bit. TNA and WWE always have already worked together, and they've worked together for a while, right? Royal Rumble next year. Can you imagine the pop? Like, you can already imagine it.
It would be awesome. The only thing is, so they've done this with TNA now a couple of times, and it's class when they show up, and you get that kind of, oh my god, this is like, this isn't right. This, you know, this is new. This is different. You get that feeling, but it's happened a few times now, and you also know that nobody from TNA is winning this. You know.
Well, no, but I mean, there are other ways they could do it. They could go on NXT, you know, like they could do like some kind of appearance. My point is, if and when a cross promotional appearance happens, the music is already established, so you already know what that pop is, and that really hasn't happened. I mean, even when Jordynne Grace showed up in the Rumble, nobody really knew her music unless you were a TNA fan.
Yeah.
But this is on TikTok, you know, like random people on TikTok are talking about Joe Henry.
Do you know what the other thing is? Weird. It's, you know, it's so catchy that it could become the new. Do you know, whenever crowds were unhappy with something or bored of something, they just started chanting CM Punk.
And yes,
it was half even. It wasn't for Punk. It was half just to like wind up McMahon or to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
It could be the new version of that. It could be where if something's happening and the fans don't like it, they just start singing, I believe in Joe Hendry.
Clap, clap.
You know, like...
I mean, look, the thing about it is, it's like, this is great for not only for TNA, obviously, but it is great for him as well, because like he's made himself, he's got himself like over, and he was so incredibly over in TNA, to the point that I became a huge fan like almost immediately. It's very similar to LA Knight, where it's like you don't really get the LA Knight thing until you're there in person, and you're like, okay, I actually completely get it now. You know, it's just that, and that's the great thing about live wrestling. Sometimes you actually just have to experience it. But what's great about this is transcending the medium, and that very rarely happens.
Here's a question for you, Dara. Now, there's loads of wrestling sayings, and most of them are nonsense. They're wrong. They're just stuff old people say, because that's who it was back then. But one of the wrestling sayings you often hear is, funny don't draw money. Do you think with this gimmick, because it's so popular, like you couldn't really drop it because it's gotten you so far, but do you think at the same time it maybe limits them to a mid-card, upper mid-card thing, or is there potential there? Like, I think Orange Cassidy can still be a legit world title contender and even a champion. Do you think there's potential there for Joe Hendry to take this character and, you know, maybe evolve it whatever way he needs to, but to go the distance with it?
It depends. It really does depend. Because here's the thing. Once he's in the ring, once the bell rings, that he's a wrestler, you know? It's not like...
He's good.
Yeah, he's like really, really good. So it's not like he's a goofball. You know, he's established himself with phenomenal matches. Even on this card, actually, a really good match he had with Rich Swann. But the matches he had with Kaz really just... I was like, okay, this is legitimate. You know, and then he won the Glasgow Cup and all that kind of stuff. So it's not a case of the gimmick is the only thing he has. He has the full package where
I can also see the gimmick taking on like a really powerful emotional element to it. Like if he is in a really good world title feud, and you know, he does get a shot, that whole I believe in Joe Hendry thing, it could take on a whole new dimension where it's not just something you're saying like, you know, for a laugh. It could be, I believe in Joe Hendry. Yeah.
Like,
it could have a huge emotional impact.
And the thing about it is like the comparison you could probably go to like Bo Dallas, where Bo Dallas did take it to NXT Gold, you know? So it just kind of depends where it is and how it's presented. But like, I would be worried for him if it was just his gimmick and if it was a comedy thing. It's not even comedy. The song is catchy as all heck, right? He is hilarious, but he's also incredibly talented. And everyone who he's worked with, the matches have either been one of the best parts of the show or genuinely the best thing on the show.
He's funny. He's not a clown.
Exactly, yeah. And also, he isn't hurt by the gimmick. You know, it's like, You watch a Joe Hendry segment and you're like, okay, that was hilarious, but also the match is going to be really good. And then, you know, we saw here on the pay-per-view where it was, you know, where he manipulated the entrance video to be Rich Swann and AJ Francis. It was brilliant, but the match was also really good.
And do you know what the video manipulation thing he did, like, I've seen a couple of these TNA shows now, and he does a different kind of version of this for everyone. And every time I watch it, I'm waiting for the joke to get old, and you know, it never does.
You know what it is? It just hit me there when you said it. He's Chris Jericho from 2000
in WWE. Yeah, it's a constant kind of subtle reinvention.
Because Chris Jericho did this a lot with his feud with Benoit and in the early days of WWE, in his run there after WCW. Oh.
I will not fight him on a boat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly the segment I was thinking of. And again, like, Jericho can be really funny, particularly, you know, then he was like, you know, but then when the bell rung, it was like, no, we're here. You know, and I think that's the beauty of this gimmick. That's the beauty of Joe as a wrestler, you know? So look, fair play to him on the success. I'm just loving the fact that, like,
well done, again, Joe.
No, but the gimmick that I was like, this is the greatest gimmick of all time. And you're like, no, Dara, what's going on? I'm like, no, seriously. And now it's become a viral meme. Again, I don't know what's going on. I'm on a run. I'm on a run. I really am.
I believe in Dara.
Clap, clap. Okay, so look, we are going to just keep a tight show this week. It is just going to be the 55 minutes on the radio. Of course, if you're listening to us on the Phoenix 92.5 FM, thank you so much. We are here every week, every Tuesday at 8 p.m. You can also go over to thewrestlingrewind.com, which is where you can find all of our shows for free. Spotify, we're also there as well. And if you have a Patreon, you can also find the link to it there on thewrestlingrewind.com.
For our online fans or those who are listening to the podcast, we'd like to apologize for the lack of swearing this week. Promise we'll fix it next week.
Yeah, of course, we normally do an overdrive segment where we go over and, you know, it's a full 90 minutes. But we are going to keep a tight TNA show this week where it's going to just be the radio one. So it just is what it is. We, you know, we wanted to just keep it kind of focused this week just on all the TNA stuff. But what's happening right now as we're talking is TNA Under Siege. So this is one of the block of shows, not so much a pay-per-view, but the card is actually stacked. Martin, we had a look at it before we went on the air. It's the returning Broken Matt Hardy, the system, like the six-man tag match there with Broken Matt Hardy and Speedball Mountain versus the system, which actually looks really, really good. The X Division, Ali and Austin and Ace Austin, the X Division again, I have to say, and I know we won't get too much into this, but we will talk about it on the pay-per-view discussion, is finally...
Oh, it's back.
It's back, and it, you know,
it's back.
It's properly back. You know, like obviously Chris Sabin is incredible. I'm a huge fan of the Motor City Machine Guns, but like the work that he did to bring it back to, you know, a much a marquee element of TNA has really been ramped up with this Ali run. So fair play to him. So I'm actually looking forward to checking these shows out or this show out when it's done, but that's happening now. So. You're going to have to wait, guys.
It's an awesome new business model they have as well, where they go to like a town and they put on what is essentially for the live audience a pay-per-view.
Yeah,
what,
it's great.
For the TV audience would be broken up into episodes. It's so much better than like you know, the huge blocks of recording they used to do, or staying in the one place. Mm. I think it makes the promotion seem more vibrant, more alive. It makes each of the weekly shows kind of different. You know, they each kind of have their own kind of vibe to them, their own feel, their own kind of image. I think it's a really good move from them.
That's a very good point. Like, it's, you know, when they did the UK block of shows, you know, I kind of got to see how they did it, where... They would do like 4 or 5 dates and then, like, you know, have these big angles on the shows, but it'd also be like a pay-per-view. They would do a pay-per-view or they do like something similar to it. And that seems to be what they're doing through the dates as well. It's really clever because, as you said, it doesn't have the staleness of being in a, you know, an Impact Zone or a Daily Place or something like that, where it's the same thing, it's the same crowd, but it doesn't have the expense of moving around like a WWE, where, you know, you're running
week,
these places,
yeah,
every week. And I mean, it's really clever. I'll be honest with you, Martin, I can't believe this wasn't done sooner by anybody. This is like something that TNA came up with by themselves. It really is clever. One of the biggest criticisms of old TNA was the Impact Zone. It really was hit and miss. You know, you'd have a crowd that was really hot or a crowd that really wasn't, you know, and this way has just, the crowds are always like on fire hot. So I, you know, that's one thing straight off the bat when we're talking about Rebellion, this crowd were there. They were a small crowd, but they were red hot. As I said, when I went to, one thing about TNA, when I went to TNA there in Glasgow, I lost my voice from chanting. So that doesn't happen again at WrestleMania. I didn't lose my voice and I was booing Cody consistently.
Over two nights.
And
in the freezing cold.
Yeah, exactly. And I did. And, you know, I was there for one show, and that's how rabid that crowd is. Like, TNA fans, I know wrestling has the tribalism thing, but I mean this in the best possible way. TNA has the best fans you'll ever be around because they just love TNA. You know, don't care about anything else. They just love TNA, and that's it. And it seems to be that anywhere else they go, you know. And it's one of the great things that was always there. But look, this was from Palms Casino Resort in Nevada, so near Vegas, obviously. And they kind of leaned into that in the presentation. The main event really was to start the real run of Nick Nemeth, obviously Dolph Ziggler in WWE. But the card itself was quite good. It started off hot and just like booked all the way through. Some big highlights for me, Martin, I'll let you get into in a second. Obviously, the X Division match was just out of this world good. Like, the ending was a bit meh, but up until that point, it was
phenomenal. The only concern I had was, yeah, the ending kind of, it was a bit limp. It kind of happened out of nowhere.
Yeah, but I wasn't a huge fan, but the what's it, the black hole, or what did they call it, the into the void slam. My god. I don't know how he got back up. Killed him. Killed him.
This was almost like a perfect opener. Like, was firstly, it was Mustafa Ali. Like, yeah. That dude is hot right now. He's really going well.
Really going well, yeah.
Across both TNA, the Indies, and New Japan. Maybe did himself a wee bit of damage with that story coming out during the week about how he was supposed to be in the G1, and he said he'd only be in it if he gets to win the whole thing.
Well, I mean, look, that's fair, but also
calm down, like,
you can't do that. But look, he's having the run of his career in TNA.
He's done so well, and you know what? This kind of revitalization of the Indies and TNA, and obviously AEW being there as an alternative, it has really meant that guys who are in a company who don't feel like they're, you know, being properly used, or who don't feel like they're being used in the way they want to be, or that suits their character, like, they have options. It's not a matter anymore of if WWE drops you, you're done. Like, these guys have shown you can go out and you can have a great career outside of the big company. Like, and they've done better for themselves. Like, Mustafa Ali was never this interesting when he was in WWE. He's doing all these really cool gimmicks now. He has, like, you know, the protesters in the ring, and you know, coming out and saying that such and such shouldn't be in the X Division. And he's just been really creative with his character. But again, much like we were talking about Joe Hendry, once that bell rings, he's awesome. Particularly, you talked about the slam there was brilliant. He also did this incredible kind of dive across the, so he's outside the ring and he dives into the ring across the corner and out the other side. And as Jake something is coming in behind him to do the same thing, he spins around, catches him in the DDT outside the ring. It was fantastic. But there was loads of little spots like this the whole way through the match.
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't just a spot fest either. Like,
it was all worked really well into the story.
But the great thing about the X Division was, and I liked the way they started to bring this back, you know, there was the misconception for a while that it was like a cruiserweight belt or something. It wasn't. It was about No Limits. Like, this harkened back to the Samoa Joe run with the belt, where he just killed people, you know. But he'd have these matches in between it where, like, one of my favorite TNA matches of all time is the Cage match from Lockdown 2005, where Samoa Joe had a match with Sabu, and it was awesome, you know. But it was,
yeah,
you know,
I think this Mustafa Ali run, it has given the X Division a kind of unique identity it hasn't had since
since
the old crisscross ropes over the top of the six-sided ring.
Yeah, but look, it would be unfair to say that completely, because the work that Chris Sabin did.
Oh yeah, of course.
Like the foundations. Well, look, the rehabilitation of that division was done under Chris Sabin, which is why I think he did it, because he's like, look, I can do this. And now we're seeing on top of those foundations is just canvas where you can have these guys go in and just have a hell of a match. And it feels very much like old TNA, you know, which again, it's essential. Like, one of the cornerstones of TNA from day one was the X Division. So this was a phenomenal way to open the show. Again, classic TNA move, but really enjoyed it. I have to call out as well, another thing that I really wasn't expecting to enjoy as much as I did, but I mean, it is me. The Kazarian Young Full Metal Mayhem match.
Yes.
Oh, so good. So fun.
Great stuff.
Really fun. Really fun match. It really was.
Yeah, I loved some of the wee nods to, like, again, you were talking about how the X Division match felt like old TNA. I loved some of the wee nods to old TNA in this match, like Abyss's bat with all the nails in it.
But yeah, I love the story they were saying as well, where Kazarian, you know, they're like, Kazarian claims he was here to save TNA, but he wasn't here for a while, and you know, he wants this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh man, this is really good stuff, you know. And Eric Young transitioned from being like, his whole career basically was in TNA, and then he went over to WWE for a while, but he transitioned from being a comedy figure to being a serious wrestler, and then being like one of the locker room leaders of TNA. So having someone who would be the heart and soul of TNA going against someone who's claiming to be that, brilliant storytelling. Yeah. And then also having all these little nods as well.
Yeah, all the wee nods were cool. There's also it was also a really good move by Eric Young, like you say, if he was, you know, previously seen as a kind of a comedy character and he went away, like, you wouldn't mistake him for that anymore.
No, like, not
after this.
No,
a couple
not.
Of awesome spots in this was the Flair flip. Eric Young got through into the turnbuckle and he did the Flair flip over the turnbuckle to the outside, and as he's walking along, Kazarian hits the ropes and just this massive spear through the ropes, out of the ring, clean through this table. Unbelievable. And then the finish. Now, I know this probably wasn't meant to go this way, but it's kind of like a huge, like, I don't know if he has a name for the move, but it was kind of like a massive spinning or turning brain buster type thing from the top rope, but he went to go through a table, but whatever way the table was positioned, they only caught the edge of it, and it sliced Eric Young's head open. It looked incredibly nasty, but a hell of a match.
Absolutely. But like, this is what you wanted. I mean, this is Full Metal Mayhem has that reputation, you know, so when they do it, it's kind of like, right, you're going to see some serious, you know what, here. So it's really, really good. Look, in the time we have left, I want to get to really two matches really quickly. The women's match, obviously, Knockouts division. Again, look, along with the X division.
Hold on. The women's match now, Dara, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but you told me we weren't doing WrestleMania this week, that this week we were doing TNA. The Knockouts title match was beat for beat the main event of WrestleMania.
It was.
I was watching going, why does this seem familiar?
But to be fair, it was done. Well, was it done? Was it after? When was WrestleMania? April 6th? Oh, whoa, okay. It was done afterwards. Look, they might have got some kind of inspiration from it. But it was a lot shorter. It was a lot shorter.
I give them that. Yeah.
It was 12 minutes. No, you know, like, what it was? It could have been the condensed version of the main event of WrestleMania.
Well, and like, that's not to take away anything from Jordan Grace or Steph DeLander. Like, they're incredible. It was really good match, but like, it started off as just kind of a really good hard hitting fight, and then you had your interferences, and then you had your lights out, lights on, returning people. You had the return of PCO, who took a nasty bump out of the ring. And then the return of Sami Callihan, and like, the whole thing was, like you say, condensed version of WrestleMania main event.
But again, they are kind of like setting the table here. You know, it was. I wish they had done it in a better way, because doing it in the Knockouts title division is, I mean, one thing that TNA always had was a solid women's division, and it still does. Jordan Grace is probably one of the greatest women's champion of all time.
Oh, she's fantastic. Absolutely. And one of the things that really struck me about it was, like, Jordan Grace is an impressive looking woman. Like, she's really powerful, really strong. And even she seemed dwarfed standing next to Steph DeLander.
Yeah, but...
And even PCO seemed small stood next to her.
That's true. That's true. But, like, again, this was a spectacle match, setting the table for probably the rest of the year, where this is going to be your division, which is very, very interesting. You know, it wasn't
It set up loads of stuff.
It was kind of the opposite of the main event that we talked about at the start of the show, where it's like, they ruined everything. They told their story too early. TNA are like, well, we're going to use this to set up everything. Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm going to go on the record and say, hey, WWE, this is what you're meant to do. You were not meant to do it the other way, where you throw it all out the window initially.
I know time's limited, so this isn't a match, but I just thought Jonathan Gresham Wii video was pretty cool.
It was. I actually really liked it as well. You know, is there anything I didn't mention that you want to bring up before we get to the main event?
I mean, we talked like a good bit about Joe Hendry. I love the intro. Oh, yeah. The match, again, really good. Like you say, like the stuff that gets the attention is all the other stuff he does. But when the bell rings, he's really good. Hammerstone and Josh Alexander, last man standing. I thought that was tremendous. Really good hard-hitting stuff. A last man standing match, because that 10 count is so long and breaks up the action and all, a last man standing match is very, very difficult to do and do well and keep it interesting.
Honestly, it really is. Like, last man standing matches can either be very good or very gimmicky or somewhere in between. And this one was, but again, it was safe hands. I mean, Josh Alexander is top talent.
And a great story. Like, I know it's a wee bit like, when they stole Macho Man's hat, or whenever Bret Hart's jacket was stolen or whatever. But taking Josh Alexander's wrestling headgear, I don't know, I kind of liked it. There was a satisfying end to the feud when he knocked him out for the 10 and he just walked over and he ripped his headgear out of your man's hands. And I liked it. It was pretty cool.
I was thinking about that, actually. So before we get into time you have left, I was thinking, why does TNA work for me in a way that AEW doesn't? And I think it's because it has that mix, that better mix of, like, your pure wrestling, which it does. It has, like, proper pure wrestling. But then it has a nice swath of sports entertainment.
Of nonsense.
Of nonsense, yeah. It's just like, you know, but it's, like, tastefully mixed in there, you know? And I think that's what it is.
A sprinkling.
Yeah, it's just, but it's like, That's what it is, and it's just like, okay, it just works for me. It's like this perfect kind of mix, you know? And even the way it's presented, the commentary team are actually, they're really good. Just the way it's shot, it's, I don't know, man, it just really works for me. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, so did I. Really liked this match. Now, I think finally, we were talking earlier about, like, Mustafa Ali and how, you know, he's shown he can leave WWE and you can go on to have a hell of a career. Another man who's shown that, Nick Nemeth.
Oh man.
My God. That guy,
I know,
is,
right?
He is Nathan Day from Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler, by the end, was a joke, a meme. Like,
well, you know, here's the thing, right? You probably don't remember this. We will go back in the time machine and we'll watch the career of Drew Galloway. Drew Galloway went from 3MB, which...
Oh, yeah, 3MB, yeah.
I really like 3MB, I'm not going to lie. But he then went to TNA. They debuted as Drew Galloway. I was in the building for that in Manchester. And he went and had a hell of a career and then came back and is now one of WWE's biggest stars. I think we're seeing a very similar, or we will see a very similar path here for Nick Nemeth, where it's like he's going to have probably one of the runs of his career here. And he's winning championships left and right. But my God, this match was unbelievable.
See, here's the thing. Now, I thought it was really good build. It felt on the night like it had a huge, big fight feel to it. Moose looks amazing. Like, yeah. Nick Nemeth
Moose is a legitimate star. Really is.
Yeah, and he's terrifying. In fact, I have down in my notes that he has the scariest powerbomb since Kevin Nash's Jackknife.
Oh, you know what? You know what? When you see him in person, the bang of WCW off him, not in a bad way, but yeah. He is good. A WCW top guy. That's Moose. Moose is like, he's Kevin Nash and Goldberg mixed together. And it's terrifying.
He's like a legitimately, even on TV, a legitimately intimidating character.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The only thing was, I don't know, I think maybe just on the night for whatever reason, by no means a bad match at all. I'm not saying that at all. I think maybe just for periods of time that maybe didn't gel well, or maybe some of the spots and transitions and that they went for were maybe a little bit over ambitious. They just didn't quite pull some of them off. Mm-hmm. But look, I would rather people go out there and be over ambitious than, you know, go out and show everybody the same, you know, down into the international that they've seen 100 times. Still a very good match.
I think the point of this match was to establish the first kind of run at the belt for Nick Nemeth.
Yeah. But then, there's way more to come for Nick Nemeth.
But then also to set up the return of Broken Matt Hardy.
That's right. What did you think?
Look, I mean, I don't think he's going to be there for a long time. I do still think he's going to end up doing the Bray Wyatt thing. But I was thrilled to see him. So I don't know how long he's...
the Bray Wyatt thing?
I think there is some kind of Bray Wyatt family
happening. Yeah, okay. You think
I think Matt will probably end up there, but for the time being, I love the Broken Matt Hardy gimmick. I think it works brilliantly in TNA. Look, I said for a while that the Bray Wyatt character would have worked really well in TNA as well. I do stand by that, but I'm happy to see him. I think it's really cool. But look, I don't know how long it'll be. I don't think it's long term. I don't think Matt Hardy has signed a full term deal with them. So yeah. I'm going to say this is a good cameo.
Yeah, and you don't show up at the end and attack the world champion unless they have some sort of plan. Like, even if you say if it's not a full deal or like a year-long thing, even if it's just that title feud and then he goes off, like, that's still pretty cool.
Exactly. And that's like the main event of Under Siege. It's the a six-man tag match. So it will build into something. I do think this set the table for an awful lot. And overall, look, it was one of the better shows you can watch. If, like I've said this before and I'll say it again, with TNA, if you just want a really solid wrestling show that you will enjoy from bell to bell, it has something there for everybody. It is great. You know,
it's 3 hours long. It flew by when I watched.
It does. It zips by. It's not your WWE. It's not your AEW. It is TNA. And you know what? That's all I have to say about it. It is just, for me, I'm glad we're covering TNA again. It's super exciting to see what they're doing. So I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, same here. Overall, a great pay-per-view. Very easy watch. Not a bad match. Like, legitimately, there were matches that were good, matches that were great, matches that were better than others, but there's nothing on this show that you'd say was a bad match.
No, absolutely not. But look, Martin, we are going to leave it there, folks. Thank you so much for joining us here on Phoenix 92.5 FM. If this is your first time checking us out, we really do appreciate it. Go over to thewrestlingrewind.com where you can get all of our shows for free, going all the way back. I think we're on 200 and something or in and around that. I don't really know. There's a lot of shows, and we'll be back next week to cover something we don't know yet. It could be Payback, it could be TNA, it could be AEW. We don't really know. But the best way you can find that out is to go over to our social media again on thewrestlingrewind.com and find out there. So, Martin, is there anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
I believe in Joe Hendry.
I love it. Guys, we are The Wrestling Rewind. We'll talk to you next week.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. Cause they love him in London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland and Canada and Mexico.
Thank you for listening to a Nerd to Know Media production.